Tomorrow's review of Rav Moshe Feinstein as soon to be as a posek acharon that we had already seen his tshuvos in terms of converts and in terms of adoption, which dealt with the issues of biology, sociology, what exactly are the parameters that we used in order to determine with whom yichud is mutter and with whom yichud is usser. And the question is, are there other factors, external factors, that we should take into account as well? So, in other words, one factor that we haven't discussed at all is one of time. Is there a certain minimum time that only after that period of time goes by there would be an iser of yichud? Or are we dealing with anything even for a very, very short period of time? Again, with the nafkamina being an elevator, which stops between, you know, where it's on different floors, and between floors is a very relatively short period of time. Is there an issue of yichud? I mean, before you walk into an elevator, you have to look who else is there and begin counting how many ksherim, how many prutzim, how many men, how many women. And like, is this something we have to deal with? So here, if Moshe Feinstein comes off of a principle that the whole issue of yichud is not to prevent chibuk, nishuk, etc., even though these may well be isurim d'oraisa, the concept of kiruv l'divrei erva, that which we discussed when we were in NCSY or whatever, in terms of, is it a d'oraisa, is it a drabanan, even if you say that it's a d'oraisa, but the isur of yichud was not instituted either on a d'oraisa or drabanan plane to prevent kiruv l'divrei erva, but rather was instituted to prevent d'var erva, was to prevent the ma'isa bia. And so l'chora, you need at least a period of time of a ma'isa bia. But a ma'isa bia is that which has a preparatory stage and an epilogue, namely that generally a ma'isa bia, we're not dealing over here with ones, we're not dealing over here with rape, we're dealing with issues of pitui, that of yetzahara. And so there's a period of time that's required to seduce, a minimal period of time. And then clothing has to be removed, and then afterwards clothing has to be put on. So Rav Moshe says that therefore in an elevator there's no issue of yichud, because you're never going to be in an elevator long enough for this process. In other words, that to view the ma'isa bia not as simply the biological, the physical act, but rather the process of a yetzer albashay on the part of a man and a woman, that would take into account all of the preparatory and the successive areas that have to be dealt with. Okay, that's point number one. That's something that's not really dealt with black and white in the Rishonim. Secondly, Rav Moshe deals with the issue of yichud in a doctor's office, particularly in a gynecologist's office, in which, by nature of the profession, it's not like a dentist, that some dentist can leave his door open. It's that the door has to be closed for reasons of privacy. And so it's only the doctor and the woman that he's dealing with. And many times the bedika that the doctor is doing would take a period of time that would meet the criteria that Rav Moshe Feinstein spoke of, and so is there a heter? So Rav Moshe over here introduces various svaros that we haven't yet seen. He introduces the svara of two psychological factors. One is that by a doctor we say libo tarud b'malachto, that the doctor doesn't view the woman in front of him as an item of sexual desire, but rather as a patient, and he is a doctor, and he is involved in his world of helping to heal this individual. And secondly, we have a principle of uman lomari umnase, that it's very important for an artisan not to lose his reputation. by fooling around. His reputation, his name, is very important for him to maintain a practice. And so those two psychological factors, in other words, Sifra Moshe, plus an appointment schedule, plus the fact that it's not open-ended. In other words, that it, had it been open-ended, maybe the doctor would no longer be Torah b'malachto, or he would no longer be neutralized by thoughts of the future. But since there's an appointment schedule, someone is going to come in every half hour, Mashu Kazed, it keeps things in a state of being in a unique situation. And for the last appointment, so the Rav Moshe puts in the nurse, the nurse is there, and the nurse knows how much time the doctor should be in, and the doctor wouldn't want to be caught by his nurse in a compromising situation. And so, but he says that were there to be a last appointment and no nurse around, then the woman should simply make another appointment. And then in other words, everything falls off. All of the psychological reasonings that he mentioned fall off. Okay. The third area that Rav Moshe deals with, which is sort of breaking new ground, is in terms of yichud with proximity, as opposed to being in the same room. Let's say that you have a situation where you have an apartment, and the apartment has rooms, and a woman is in one room, and a man is in another room, and the woman were to lock herself into her room. Would that take away the issue of yichud, that they're no longer in bayis echad? That she's locked into her room. And assuming that locked into her room means that she has a bathroom in her room, and she has a little kitchenette in her room, she has a little yichida, and it's arranged that he's going to leave the house before she leaves her room. It's before he leaves her room, before he leaves the house, he's going to knock on her door, and then he's going to leave the house, and only then she's going to unlock her door. Would that solve a problem of yichud? Again, let's say that, you're invited to your aunt's house to sleep over, and an aunt is someone or a married woman, and it's only you and she. Would it help for her to lock herself into her room the entire time that you're there, or not? So Rav Moshe says, "Ma pitom." The same way the door is locked, it could be unlocked. The whole issue of yichud is that we're afraid Yetzer al-Bashah, on the both parts, takes two to tango, and we're afraid that both sides would want to be together. And so what good is it going to do if someone locks the same way they lock themselves in? They can unlock themselves in. In other words, that's considered to be bayis echad. The fact that the door temporarily is locked is meaningless. It's a very powerful svara. However, there is a chazonish in Simam Lamed Dalad, Sif Beis and Ibn Ezer, where the Chazonish raises this as a possibility of a heter, because he brings a raya from the Gemara that we learned of Rav Bibi. If you recall, Rav Bibi was in a second story, and there was a wife on the first level, and Rav Bibi said, "Take away the ladder." And it was that I can't go down. Take away the ladder that I can't go down, and because otherwise, even though Baila Ba'ir, in other words, I don't want to be some Libi Gaspa, and therefore take away the ladder. But what did he mean, take away the ladder? Take away the ladder doesn't mean take it out of the house. Take away the ladder means take away my access to the ladder. But the woman can always put the ladder back. And yet we see that, it appears that when you have at least one of the two parties that doesn't have access, even though the other one theoretically could, that would have solved the problem. And so the Chazanish is not so, he doesn't say it's mutter, but he says, he leaves it as sarach iyun. He didn't take it to the same degree as Rav Moshe. Okay. Then in terms of more familiar, those are the areas that Rav Moshe sort of deals with that we didn't talk about at all. In terms of the areas that we spoke about, just in terms of being Makib Patish, so Rav Moshe, in a number of the tshuvas, points out that the difference between a married man and a married woman in terms of Shmira is that by a man we have a concept of Baila Ba'ir. Mashenken, by a woman, it's Ishto Mishamarto. It's the din of Ishto Imo. It's a different form of a check and a balance. A. B. In terms of Baila Ba'ir, But she knows that there's at least an hour from where he is to where she is, or that he's not aware of where she is, etc. So here we pointed out that's a machlokas Rambam and Rashi. What is the heter of Baal HaBa'ir? Is it of Ema or did of Mistafei? That in other words, so Rav Moshe takes for granted that like halacha maisa like Rashi, namely that the whole heter Baal HaBa'ir is that he could show up at any moment, Mistafei, and she's afraid he may show up. She's afraid that he may walk in. Masha'en came when it's clear that he can't walk in because the ear is very large, and he's on one side of the ear, she's on the other, or he has no idea where she is. Then we would not have a heter by Baal HaBa'ir. Okay, so there of Moshe is machmir. Yes. Yes, the Shulchan Aruch quoted the language of the Rambam, but that diuk. In other words, we were medayik that Ema and Mistafei are two worlds. That was our diuk. But Rav Moshe, maybe he understood that Ema and Mistafei are one and the same. Okay. Rav Moshe again repeated that which we had seen previously in a different tshuva of Rav Moshe, that if you have a man and two women, or many women, and one of those women is a relative with whom he would definitely not be intimate, his mother, his daughter, his sister, then there's no Easter of Yichud even with the group. Namely that there is a concept of busha. It's a busha on their part, on the part of the other women, because they know that this woman is not going to participate. It's a busha on his part. So the heter of Yichud with the krovot brings in other women as well, as long as the krova is there. Okay. Another tshuva that we had seen also Rav Moshe, but here he gives us the rule again, in terms of a person who was a zaken v'chalash, someone who b'derech hateva no longer has the ability to have a maisabia with a woman, a man in an old age home, someone who has simply reached a certain age that he is infirm, Rav Moshe distinguishes between Yichud D'Oraisa and Yichud D'Rabbanan. That if we're dealing with a situation of Yichud D'Oraisa, then go plug. In other words, he's a man, she's a woman. We don't make cheshbonos of age, infirmity, etc. When we're dealing on the level of Yichud D'Rabbanan, there is room to be mekel. And the raya that Rav Moshe brings is from David HaMelech. David HaMelech was allowed to be mityached with Avishag when he was in his last year of life. And even though there's an Iser of Yichud with the Pnuya Torah, since that was Migzeiras David, it's a Yichud Rabbanan, so there we can be Mekel. In terms of how do we define the world of Kviut by a sister, so Rav Moshe pointed out that it's totally on so many factors. It's just that they shouldn't feel the brother and sister as though they are they're living together. It's he has to feel like a guest, and therefore Rav Moshe says that even if they're growing up in a house and the parents want to go away for a few days during the summer, so that few days depends as to where the parents are going. What does a few days mean? How often they're going to call? What else is going on in the house, etc. In other words, there has to be a sense of very temporariness in order to allow a brother and a sister to be together. Yes.
To back to the Zaken for a second, we quoted to Zeliezer.
Go back to the Zaken.
Yeah. He was much more meek, though, right?
Yes. The Tzitz Eliezer is viewed generally, as his tremendous gadol, but not on the same plane as Rav Moshe Feinstein, the Chazon Ish, in terms of the poske hador. It's hard to sort of give labels, this is major leagues, and this is it's the farm teams, but he certainly is someone that people read his tshuvos and he corresponded with gedolim all the time back and forth, but his conclusions were not necessarily accepted as olam ha'maaseh. I have a cousin who's transplant surgeon. So I figured I'll give him a gift, the book of the Psukim of Rav Tzitz Eliezer. Anyway, he got very upset with me. He said he has his own posting. Okay. In terms of the issues that we had with numbers, how many men, how many women, etc. So we had a very basic machlokas, if you recall, between Rashi and Tosfos, about one man with more than two women. Whether that turns in one man and two women, the Mishnah says, Daitan Kalos is Osir. What about one man and three women, one man and four women? So we saw Rashi was Mekel, and Tosfos says, what are you talking about? And Rambam agreed with Tosfos, so Rav Moshe points out, we pass like the Rambam and Tosfos, that one man and many women is a problem of Yichud. It's not a question of whether it's two, three, four, etc., that one man and many women is a problem of Yichud. Okay. However, what about the other direction? One woman with two men. So there we saw that the Mishnah paskins that a woman can be misyachid with two men. Comes on the Gemara and says, on condition, that they're ksheri. And we had a machlokes, whether that is a criteria that is realistic, bizmaneinu. Can we speak nowadays about ksherim? And so that's a machlokes, Chachmei Sfarad and Chachmei Ashkenaz, machlokes Machaber and Ramah. The Ramah is matir, one woman with two men, as long as they're ksherim. And if it's a question of baderech or at night, so one woman and three men, just so one of them can go to the bathroom, one of them go to sleep, etc. However, according to the Sfaradim, no, one woman and a lot of men is no good. However, even the Sfaradim agree that the Gemara says that harbe anashim v'harbe nashim, that does work. So what is the harbe anashim v'harbe nashim that does work? Namely, what about two women and two men? Is that already harbe? Three women and three men, is that harbe? So that's a machlokas machlokas achronim in the Shulchan Aruch, and it also appears to be a machlokas ha-poskim. That Rav Moshe says that harbe, according to the Sfarim, again, according to the Ashkenazim, one woman and two men is already okay if they're ksherim. But according to the Sfaradim, that's not okay. What about two women and two men? So Rav Moshe says that's also no good. You need three and three. Where did Rav Moshe get three and three? So of course, miut rabim is two. Where did Rav Moshe get three and three? He got it from the Gemara in Ksuvos about a young couple that get married, and the woman is pirsa nida, and they had not yet been together. So we say that they have hu yashen bein hanoshim v'hi yashena bein hanoshim. We're assuming it's all one house, and in that one house where all the bedrooms are open to one another, he's in a room with two men, anoshim, and she's in a room with two women. So you see, three and three. Otherwise, Gemara would have said, hu yashen im ha'ish v'hi yashena im ha'isha. Have it two and two. However, it's really, this is the machlokes between the Beis Shmuel and the Chelkas Machokek in the Shulchan Aruch. And the Chazon Ish is Mekel, and Rav Avadya is Mekel. Again, for Ashkenazim, it's not an issue. Ashkenazim, the moment that you have two men, that's already matir one woman. But according to the Sfaradim, that one woman is not mutar with two men, how many do you have to bring in to create a heter? What's the anoshim harbe? And anoshim harbe, it's according to the Chazon Ish, two and two. Shein Ken, according to Rav Moshe, there you need three and three. Okay, so that's in terms of the issue that we dealt with. We saw that libo gaspa was a factor that would override Bala Ba'ir. That was the story of Rav Bibi. That since this woman had grown up with him, libo gaspa, so even though Bala Ba'ir, he said, take away the latter. Here Rav Moshe has two tshuvos, one of which is very halacha l'maisa, and the other is more theoretical. The halacha l'maisa one is in Siman Samach, where Moshe deals with American society, where a boy will go out with a girl, they'll go steady, without any concept of marriage. They're both in high school, and they're in camp, and they're not thinking getting married to one another. They're nowhere near that stage, but they enjoy one another's company very much, and they're going to keep the halachas technically. Right, that they're not going to they're going to keep. They're not going to smooch. They're not going to kiss. They're not going to hug. They're not going to know negia, and they're not going to give out the yichud. They just want to go steady. In other words, is there anything wrong with that? So Rav Moshe has a whole tshuva in terms of Hashkafas Olam of what does Kiruv L'Gili Arayos mean. And he points out that, you know, human beings are human beings, and there is a world of Hiruhurim and a world of Hotzah Zera Levatala, etc., that the person is putting himself into. But then he says, you should also know that Libo Gaspa, that the going steady means that would be a condition of Libo Gaspa, that Libo Gaspa not only overrides the heter of Baila Ba'ir, Libo Gaspa also overrides the heter of Pesach Pasuach or Rishus HaRavim. What does it mean they're going to keep the dinim of Yichud? They're not going to be anywhere where they can't be seen. In other words, where there's not a window, where there's not an open door. No, Libo Gaspa will not allow for Pesach Pasuach L'Rishus HaRabim. The whole din of Pesach Pasuach L'Rishus HaRabim is a fear, and Libo Gaspa removes that fear. And this is really a machlokes within the Shulchan Aruch, between the Beis Shmuel and Chalkos Machokek on one hand, and the Taz on the other hand. And Rav Moshe Al-Pi Svara says it's a davar pashut, that there's no heter of Pesach Pasuach if a case of Libo Gaspa. That's a very, very overriding Easter. Okay, let's go back to Pesach Pasuach Rishus HaRabim under normal circumstances, no Libo Gaspa. We gave, yes?
So, how would we quantify Libo Gaspa in normal sense?
Libo Gaspa means that there's a certain familiarity, that when there's a familiarity that people, Libo Gaspa could be because they grew up together. Libo Gaspa could be in an office when you have a boss and a secretary. That's, you know, it's a prescription for disaster if they don't keep Hilchos Yichud. You know, it's because there's, you know, it's a boss tends to view himself as an authority figure, and he'll call a secretary by her first name, etc. And that would be a situation of Libo Gaspa. Libo Gaspa could be neighbors. You know, where it's that, you know, where there are very, a lot of interaction between the neighbors, there are a lot of scenarios of Libo Gaspa, as opposed to, you know, where it's a purely, you know, a pure business meeting, a pure, you know, knock on someone's door without really knowing the individuals well. You know, it's, that would not be Libo Gaspa. Libo Gaspa means that there's something in the relationship that can allow people to take certain liberties that they shouldn't take.
So that would also include some coworkers.
It depends on the culture of the of the firm, whether the culture of the firm. It's Mrs. Levy, Sherry, that I'm going to call her when I took. She's been working here. I don't know, 10 years, 15 years, and so I said, I'm going to call you Mrs. Levy. Right? You know, it's that, you know, it's that I have my office, you have your office, etc. But I speak to her at least 10 times a day. So I don't want to call someone by a woman by their first name 10 times a day. I'll call her Mrs. Levy. That's Baila Beir. Right? She's Mrs. Levy, Mrs. Robinson. I call her Mrs. Levy, and that would, you know, where it's sort of to prevent any sense of Libo Gaspa. That's, you know, where it's the, I think that a person has to sort of set certain standards. When there are work relationships to be able to, you know, as Chazal said, "Einach etrupus la'arayos," and every case that I know, every scandal that happened with a rabbi, always, you know, it was simply because, you know, it's they didn't listen to Chazal. In other words, if they would have listened to Chazal, they would never have gotten into this mess in terms of Yichud, in terms of Libo Gaspa, in terms of etc. That's where, and the rest of it is simply Yetzer Lev Adam Raminu Rav. That's the way we're created. You know, it's, we have Bechira, we're Balei Bechira, and certain areas, you know, it's are stacked against, the deck is stacked against us, and so we have to realize that as a reality. And a person shouldn't put himself in situations. We daven every morning, Lo lidei nisayon. We ask Kadosh Baruch Hu not to put us in a situation of nisayon. So why should we put ourselves in a situation of nisayon if we don't have to? So it's not that, you know, you have to work in an all male environment, but if there's going to be a mixed environment, then people should create certain reminders to themselves of boundaries. Okay. Moving over to Pesach Pasuach Rishus Harabim, so we pointed out that there are two Pesachim that we speak about, a window and a door. So let's take each of these separately. What does it mean to have a window? So Rav Moshe says a window doesn't mean that you have, you know, like in a loft there's a window that Kosh Baruch Hu can see you in the ceiling, or on the, you know, where it's above people's heads, etc. If you were standing on a chair, someone would be able to see you. A window means that whoever is outside has a hargasha of what is going on inside. It doesn't necessarily have to be pure glass. It doesn't have to be a whole wall of glass. It has to be something that is permeable enough in terms of sight that what is going on the other side is felt by people, in other words, who are outside. That's what the Pesach Pasuach Harabim doesn't mean. They have to see. In other words, in terms of recognizing the individuals, but just have a hargasha of what is happening. Okay? In terms of the world of a car has windows. So Moshe says, so if it's a Pesach Pasuach Rishus Harabim, if they're on a highway, that's a Rishus Harabim, then you can have a man and a woman in a car without a problem. Because the Meikar Hadin, the question is not what they could do, namely that they could move over into a side, into a lane, into a forest, into etc. It's where they are currently. That's, in other words, is there Yichud, is there an Iser where they are currently? And that is Mutar. However, Rav Moshe pointed out that, you know, it's again, a person has to be very, very careful that cars are vehicles that have drivers, and the driver has the ability of moving the car out of the Rishus HaRabim and into a situation of Yichud, and therefore, Chachamein of Barosho. A person, you know, should be aware of the of that as being a real possibility in certain areas, and should take that into account. In terms of doors, moving over to the world, yeah?
Not on a highway, just driving on a...
So again, so then it's day and night. You know, so if you're driving through, you know, it's during the daytime in a place where there are cars going back and forth, not a highway, so, but at night, you know, it's generally, a highway would still be a Rishus HaRabim at night as opposed to a neighborhood road. That would be much more problematic. So there, you know, it's with a taxi driver, you would have to come back to Rav Moshe's gynecologist heter, that the taxi driver is Torud B'Malachto, the taxi driver is Uman L'Mariyum Nase, wouldn't want to lose his reputation. In Israel, taxis belong to all sorts of dispatchers, and there's a dispatcher who expects his taxi, you know, to get to his destination and then go elsewhere. But, you know, it's clearly, let's say, if there are two ways of going from Grus to Har Nov, one way on roads and one way through the forest, a woman should tell a taxi driver, take me to Har Nov on the road, not through the forest. I know it's, again, there has to be a sense of the fact that you can neutralize heterim as well. Okay, in terms of doors. So we pointed out that the ideal door is a door which is wide open to a Rishus HaRabim. What about a door which is closed but not locked? Right. So there we saw a machlokas. However, Rav Moshe goes even further, leheter and leiser. Okay, and Rav Moshe holds that in a city in which everyone locks their doors, but the society says that when a door is locked, if someone knocks or rings the bell, then whoever is inside goes and asks, who is there? And if it's not a dangerous person, opens the door. So even a locked door, during the time of day, and in a place where there are many people that are shliach, that are in the area, that could knock on the door, even a locked door would not be considered to be yichud. Okay. In other words, again, that if you're in New York during the day when there are people running up and down in a stairwell, or let's say you're 186th Street, in other words, in a building there that there are, I don't know, 25 YU couples, and people are always, you know, going through the hallways, And people always knocking on doors. Or in Grus, right? People always knocking on doors. Do you have a carrot? Do you have an onion? Do you, you know, where it's, do you have a sefer? Do you have this? Do you have that? In other words, in such a situation, even a locked door would not be considered to be yichud. However, in that same place, if we're to be a time of a day when there are very few people who go around knocking, then it would be yichud. In other words, that Rav Moshe views the culture of knocking and who is it, and oh, please come in, that would serve as enough of a mistafe, as enough of a check and a balance, even if the door is locked. Yes?
I'm just having a hard time understanding it's far, like, the person just opened the door. They could just ignore it. Like, you know.
No, in other words, again, in other words, your lights are on. Everything depends upon circumstances, but generally, if your lights are on, someone knows. Let's say, for example, before people go in my building to ask for tzedakah, they look from the outside to see which lights are on, which apartments have lights. And then, you know, where they go around, they go knock, and they'll just keep knocking and knocking and knocking. You just can't ignore them. They'll knock and they'll ring, you know, where it's for 10 minutes straight. You're home. They know you're home. Your lights are on. Okay, but my poor Shabbos clock gets beating that way. But they, you know, where it's, they're not going to let up. And, you know, it's, and that itself, you know, it's, would generally, you know, that's the concept of yichud, is that yitzro takfo, when you have someone banging on your door and knocking, etc. There's very little yitzro takfo, you know, during that period of time. That's, again, it's from Moshe Svara. And the other side of the coin is that if you have a door which is wide open, but wide open to nowhere, namely, you know, it's you're in the Catskills, and you know, at night after 8 o'clock at night, no one is walking around outside. So, my nachkimina that you leave your door wide open, no one is going to ever come in. And in the city, no one in his life is going to leave their door wide open. So Rav Moshe felt that simply that you know, at night when people aren't around, then a door would not be considered to be, even if it's wide open, would not be a heter, would not be a pesach pasuach l'rishus harabin. Okay, so it's a two-way sword, and namely that on one hand he's more makel in terms of locked doors when people are running around knocking on doors, but when no people are running around, then even an open door may not be a heter. So everything is really tolui, according to Rav Moshe, on this mistafe, you know, it's that to what degree are people held back by the fact that that there's a likelihood that someone is going to interrupt. Yeah?
What about a case where, let's say, a private door is open, it could be during the middle of the day, people are around, but man and woman, let's say, are in a room that's not necessarily visible from that door.
Okay, so that would not be a heter at all. You're 100% correct. That would not be a heter. Yeah. Okay. Yes?
Two questions. One is, if, going on the remote spara, let's say you're in an apartment where the culture is not to even if the door is wide open, people wouldn't go in. Is that still...
That would take away the Pesach Pasuach. In other words, in a culture where, you know, to understand, the Gemara, everything is written within a certain framework. So when you have, you know, it's again, when you have a village which is similar to the Grus Towers, where everyone knows everyone, and people just, you know, it's, don't wait for, you know, they'll just knock and walk into an apartment without you know, being invited in. Simply that it's just everyone knows everyone, and there's nothing to hide. So in such situations, you know, that's where you have the din of Pesach Pasuach Rishus HaRabin. Is that me? I'm sorry. Okay, Mash Ein Kein, yes?
I'm sorry, I just have one other question. In the very beginning this year, we talked about the time. Is there an actual time? Like,
I didn't ever saw like 17 minutes, I'm not sure. No. Yeah.
In church, like, I think about practical kids a lot. If someone has like a cleaning lady in their house, could you use the svara that like she won't want to lose her job, even though her job's not the same status as like a doctor, where like if she got fired from one place, she could probably still get it.
I don't know if a cleaning lady could say Uman Tarud Bu'um Naso. I don't know how much you have to concentrate on shirt collars or on sheets in order to, I think that would be taking things a little far. I think that it's definitely dealing with people who you know, who have a, you know, it's, we would hope a brain surgeon would be tarugu nasa, and I could start up with a nurse during brain surgery or something like that, that he'd be tarugu in terms of what he is doing. But look, you know, it's unfortunately, no matter, I mean, Chazal can only help people. I watch it. The Torah can only help people. It can't prevent a person from doing an avera. I mean, unfortunately, again, enough atropos arayos, but clearly the system was created to serve as a check and a balance. Okay, we should have bracha v'hatzlacha. So, Amir Tzashem, a week from this coming Monday. Yeah? 2 weeks from, 2 weeks from, 2 days ago. Okay, a week from this coming Monday, we'll have a bechina on the sugyas that we learned from on the Zayin Ches Tes Berach. What? Zayin Ches Tet, and on Yichud. Okay, wonderful. Have a wonderful chazara.
I don't want any more cupcakes, please.
What is the occasion?
It's my birthday today. I heard it was Ray's birthday.